This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
School of Humans.
This show follows the investigation of serial murders and contains material that may be disturbing. Listener discretion advised.
It's 2012, Krugersdorp, South Africa. Ria Grunewald's prayer group, Overcomers Through Christ, were under attack. Someone was sending a message. They believed it was Satanists from Cecilia's past. The same demons who chronically tortured Cecilia were now out for Rhea. Rhea's connection to Cecilia was the only thing protecting OTC, and now Rhea had severed that connection.
Just before the murder started, there was car bombings happening to scare Rhea.
Petrol bombs were used to intimidate people attending these meetings.
The bombs were indeed a message, but not from Satanists. In truth, it was Cecilia Stein, the mastermind, ordering her new subjects to carry out these crimes in hopes of scaring Rhea into submission. After being poisoned and receiving death threats, Rhea had been doing her best to distance herself from Cecilia, who felt deeply betrayed. And the rivalry had turned violent. The first two acts of wanton terrorism both involved car bombs, handmade by the members of Electus Perdeus. Here's Detective Suzette Kanotse.
She walked out to her car. She smelled petroleum. It's a heavy smell. When they came out, they saw that there was all kinds of little packages underneath their cars.
The police were called, and the bombs were disarmed. No one was hurt this time. But Rhea and her followers were all struck with a nameless fear. A few weeks later, OTC met again. At a new location, the home of Pastor Reginald Ben Dixon, Rhea's new mentor in faith. Before the meeting started, the prayer group encircled the house. They joined hands, called in protection against the devil and his demons. They created an invisible wall, sealing the home to keep out all things unholy. But then, an hour into the meeting, a series of explosions shook the house. When they rushed outside, they discovered huge holes where the bombs had exploded against the lawn. Rhea's car was smoking and severely damaged. A few weeks later, at midnight, on the evening of July 15th, Pastor George Nell, a spiritual advisor to Rhea's prayer group, arrived to survey the wreckage of his house of worship. The Lighthouse Full Gospel Church that he had led for 8 years had been set on fire. As the building smoldered, the pastor found a note taped to the wrought iron gate. Scrawled in big block letters, it reads, "Who is going to protect you now, Rhea?" Rhea had gone to the cops, but she was convinced that she was dealing with supernatural forces. Until the bombings and the church fire, she remained in denial that her spiritual daughter, Cecilia, the woman whom she had once bottle-fed back to health and cared for 4 long years, could ever want to do her harm. Rhea couldn't bear to grasp that ugly truth, so she didn't.
The revenge was totally on Rhea. The only thing she was doing wrong was she made friends with Celia, and she protected Celia, and she made Celia her best friend. And then she deserted Celia, and Celia just couldn't take that.
It's pure revenge. And if you look at the people that got murdered, they were all close friends for Rhea.
From School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts, this is Queen Havoc and her murder cult. I'm your host, Kurt Kubicek. Episode 2, Under Satan's Hammer. When we first arrived in South Africa, Jennifer and I quickly learned about a nationwide energy management technique called load shedding. That's where the power grid is shut down in certain areas at certain times. This is meant to lessen the strain on the country's electricity system, but it shifts the burden to the people. Here's Jermaine Kreher, our South African producer, as we drive across Krugersdorp from the airport to our hotel.
Does everyone just have backup batteries all the time?
No, everyone just sits in the dark.
Really?
Yes. Backup batteries are incredibly expensive, and a lot of people still don't have the resources for that. We've sat 4 or 5 days without power before. The problem with that is our water pumps work on electricity. So, after 2 days of no electricity, we lose water as well. Wow. which is a little bit of a nightmare.
Hi, how are you? Good, good. I'm just dropping off some guests.
Back at the hotel, we found ourselves without Wi-Fi. Even the backup generator wasn't working. Our first taste of load shedding. We were deep in it now, experiencing firsthand this darkness that could take over at any moment. I kept thinking about the members of Electus Perdeus, the ones who sided with Cecilia when OTC was divided, how dark their lives became after making the choice to become the lords and ladies of Queen Havoc's bloody court. Not only were they carrying out amateur acts of violence against Rhea, who had in some respects been a caretaker to them all, but the closer they got to Cecilia, the more they lost themselves, lost their moral compass, and became her loyal soldiers. Mirinda, for example, moved in with Rhea after suffering through a tough divorce in 2011. Rhea was there for her when Mirinda needed her most. But that also meant she lived next door to Cecilia. Cecilia's petite, with short hair, sometimes spiked at the top. She wears baggy clothing and small gold hoop earrings. She has a silver tongue and is mastered in the art of posturing so that everyone wanted to be in her good graces.
She has the superpower in manipulation. I mean, she can open a university teaching people manipulation.
So, rather quickly, Mirinda grew devoted to her, became desperate for Cecilia's approval. And by January of 2012, Mirinda Stein had officially taken Rhea's place as Cecilia's right hand and primary caregiver. The maternal rights that Rhea once held had been transferred to Mirinda. Here's journalist Jana Marks.
Mirinda ultimately did everything she did to impress Cecilia. She just wanted to get her approval, and that included her kids.
Like Rhea and Cecilia, Mirinda was a mother. She worked as a high school English teacher and was known to be quite intelligent.
All the people that she has turned to believe in her are well-learned people. Mirinda's IQ is more than 140.
That's Colonel Christelle Boysen, a strong, almost intimidating presence. A seasoned and decorated detective, she's both mentally and physically tough and full of insight. She was close to the case as well. She told us about Mirinda's transformation, her fall to the dark side.
She was a loving mother, a loving spouse, and When she met up with Cecilia, Cecilia started feeding the bad side of Miranda. Miranda even testified in court to say that killing a person is the most exciting thing that you can ever do in your life.
What a statement. Miranda was fully committed to her role as the right hand to Cecilia, even if that meant robbing her children of their innocence. Our resident scholar, Dr. Nikki Valkoff, speculates.
Maybe the very nature of trying to be this kind of perfect white Christian mom and wife and teacher is part of what made her available to this narrative of Satanism, that, you know, you are special and you have been chosen. You have been chosen to help fight evil.
The fear of Satanism, paired with the promise of doing God's work, kept Miranda glued to Cecilia.
She relied on a certain scripture. So the prophet Eli was given Samuel to raise. And obviously Eli was a prophet. So Miranda thought she will just give her children to Cecilia to raise. And she grounded her decision on that scripture. So from a very early age, the children and Cecilia's lives were completely integrated.
I don't know about you, but when I was 10, I was playing basketball in the driveway and video games with my neighborhood friends. Not building bombs and setting churches on fire. Not being groomed by my own mother to commit brutal acts of violence. Upon Cecilia's orders, Miranda cut her kids off from their father, making them believe he no longer wanted to see them, and discouraged any social interaction outside of their apartment complex, Kasana Flats. She made sure her kids didn't have any friends of their own, no one that might make them second-guess their devotion. Here is Rosalind McNabb again, child advocate and psychologist.
They were told, your dad does not want to see you. Then they were told, you will not speak to anyone at school because actually Cecilia knows everything about what has been spoken about.
They came to believe that Cecilia was omnipresent. One silver lining of being an ex-Satanist was that she had been granted the power of astral projection. She could be anywhere at any time, and she could hear everything. Miranda treated Cecilia like a prophet, one who had survived the darkness and had seen the light. And now, she was ready to impart her holy knowledge for the supposed benefit of all. And so did Zach and Michaela Valentine. They were also true believers in Cecilia. Her influence was immediately evident. When we visited Detective Suzette, she showed us pictures of Michaela.
I mean, she was a beautiful woman. In a year's time, she went from this to this.
In the first picture, she is bright, youthful. She looks happy and grounded. She was just 21 when she met Cecilia, studying to become a pastor. In the second photo, Michaela's style seems to have changed drastically. Her face is laden with heavy makeup, and there's a look in her eye. Maybe fear, maybe sorrow. Whatever it is, it's dark. Michaela's husband, Zach, had known Cecilia since they were kids. They attended the same church, presumably before Cecilia was lured in by Satanists. Now, he had a well-paying job. He was a financial advisor at an insurance company called Discovery Life. 6 feet tall, Zach kept his head shaved clean and had piercing blue eyes. His sly smile looked as if he knew something you didn't. And he was fiercely loyal to Cecilia. It's important to keep in mind that Cecilia still depended on others at all times. She kept up the narrative that if she stepped outside a certain perimeter around Kasana Flats, she would be attacked by Satanists. So, getting a job was out of the question. Zach's salary provided a cushion. Here's Detective Ben Boysen with some hard numbers.
Zach Valentine gave her more than 100,000 rand monthly.
The equivalent of nearly $6,000 per month. We also learned that EPD was as high as they could afford to be, using primarily meth and cocaine. While C found the drugs, it was the group's funds that paid for them. This dynamic worked to deepen the toxic codependency that Cecilia was fostering among her followers. It also kept them numb enough that they were less likely to notice that it wasn't just their money that was falling through their pockets. Their identities were disappearing too. But according to Cecilia, their cash wasn't just for drugs and groceries. It was for orphans. Here's psychologist Rosalind McNabb.
Zach Valentine, an intelligent person who bought this story that I have this orphanage of all these children whose parents, whose mothers are Satanists, and we need to save them. We need to get all this money and send it to these kids.
There were no pictures, no receipts, no medical bills, no phone calls, no proof at all that these orphans actually existed. But if Cecilia trusted them, Zach did. And he gave his money willingly. Saving children became the primary purpose of Electus Perdeus. This mission to save orphans overseas worked beautifully to keep morale high among the members. It was a holy mission they could easily understand. It was also how Cecilia convinced Electus Perdeus to carry out yet another, more heinous act of revenge against Rhea Grunewald. Just as Rhea had refused to believe that Cecilia was capable of such ruthlessness, Cecilia refused to believe that Rhea would actually reject her. She wanted Mama Rhea back and would do anything to serve that end.
If she kills Rhea, Rhea can't return to her. So she'll rather go for people close to her, eliminate that one, then her place will be open again.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
After the car bombs and the church fire, Rhea stopped communicating by phone with the other members of Overcomers Through Christ. They were all receiving persistent death threats via text. Rhea believed their communications were somehow being intercepted. Through word of mouth, Rhea passed a message to her followers, calling for one final meeting. That night, Rhea informed her followers that she was dissolving Overcomers Through Christ. Rhea's unceasing anxiety finally saw some relief when the police found fingerprints on one of the bombs that had been thrown into Pastor Nell's church. Turns out they belonged to Marinda Stein. That was enough to arrest her and bring her in for questioning. But law enforcement became stymied by the potential defense that Marinda could have been simply reading the newspaper, thrown it in the trash, and then later, that same paper was used to make the bomb. This was enough for reasonable doubt, so Marinda was let off with a warning.
They couldn't connect her to the crime, so they let her go.
After this event, Rhea finally started coming to terms with the fact that Cecilia might actually be the one behind the recent wave of violence, so she agreed to work with the police. The plan was simple. Rhea would meet Cecilia at a coffee shop located just across the street from Kasana Flats. The police officer would sit close by and listen in on their conversation. The hope was that Cecilia would implicate herself, or at the very least, give the cops a good lead, should anything grave happen to Rhea in the future. The day of this sting, the officer met Rhea at her new apartment. They agreed to drive separately. He would walk in first just to be safe and secure a seat within earshot of Cecilia. But when Rhea arrived, all she saw was Cecilia in a booth waiting for her. The police officer was nowhere to be seen. Rhea couldn't just walk away, or Cecilia would know something was up. So she sat down across the table from her. Cecilia's hatred was palpable, jaw tight, hands clenched, eyes obscured under a baseball cap. There was no trace of that helpless spiritual daughter Rhea had once cared for. And so begins the persistent tragedy of how the police handled the numerous investigations related to OTC, EPD, Rhea, Cecilia, and all the bloodshed to come. Despite everything that went woefully wrong in this harrowing case, amid all the varying versions of these events, almost everyone we spoke to agrees on one thing.
First of all, I think if the judicial system played their role, many of these murders could have been prevented.
This whole thing could have been prevented if the police did their job.
Sitting at a booth across from Cecilia's menacing presence, Rhea spoke first. She calmly told Cecilia to stay away.
Cecilia stood up and said, well, if you think the car bombings was that bad, people is going to start dying. And she walked away.
Cecilia would make good on that promise. And without much interference, the police had let Rhea down twice now and would continue to do so. Here is another journalist who covered the coming horrors, Maritska Kotzer.
I feel that if police actually managed to stop the group in 2012, so many people would have still lived today. They could have prevented so many murders.
And here's Detective Suzette with the most difficult truth to bear.
At least 7 people died because of the way the police did not do what they were supposed to do. Not just the police, the state prosecutor's office as well.
Soon after meeting Rhea at the diner, Cecilia informed her flock that she had a vision, a woman with blood streaming down her face. The woman was Natasha Berger, who had taken Cecilia's place as Rhea's closest ally. The revenge plot was about to enter its next phase.
C told the group, God gave these people 5 things to pray about. But what the group and Natasha specifically did was she only prayed for 4 of those 5 things. And because Natasha only prayed for the 4, death curses was put upon over 300 children, and they all died.
I know, it's wild, but the bite method had worked. Cecilia now controlled their behavior, information, thoughts, and emotions.
Any person in their right mind would know if 300 kids ended up dead, it would be news. It would be world news, never mind just in our country. But they actually believed Cecilia.
Cecilia's psychological playground had twisted her followers' sense of truth. And now, Cecilia's teeth were sunk deep into the hearts of Zach, Marinda, and Michaela. According to Jana Marx's book, in order to focus her followers' hatred and channel it at her new enemy, Natasha Berger, Cecilia gathered the group in her bedroom. She told them that Natasha was the one who was truly standing in direct opposition to the group. We have to take Natasha out, Cecilia said. It's blood for blood.
She was telling people the Bible says she must go and kill, but actually she was taking revenge.
LaRue was in charge of preparations for the operation. He cased the area and saw that in order to reach Natasha's townhouse door, they would have to get past security guards. The guards recorded the license plate number on each car that entered the complex. Cecilia found a workaround. LaRue, under the cover of night, would steal a license plate off of a random car on the street and place it on Zach's car. Simple as that. And on July 24th, 2012, it worked. Zach, Michaela, and Marcel, who was an angsty tween at this point,
got past the guards. When they got to Natasha Berger's home, they sent Marcel, the most innocent-looking one, to the front door. Zach and Michaela waited in the car. Up her sleeve, Marcel had a surprise, a taser. She anxiously knocked at the door, ready to immobilize Natasha. Then, Zach and Michaela would swoop in and finish her off. But when Natasha opened the door, there was an additional security gate between them. So the clever Marcel improvised.
She said her cat was in a garden in one of the trees, and mm-hmm. she wanted to walk through Natasha's flat, and Natasha just said no.
But Marcel was persistent, and Natasha reluctantly agreed, not to let Marcel in, but rather to go look for the cat herself. Natasha quickly disappeared to the back garden. After a few minutes, she returned to the front door and broke the news. No cat. Then she politely shooed the young killer away. An embarrassed Marcel tromped back to the car and delivered the bad news. Alectus Perdeus continued to surveil Natasha for a few more days until they discovered a weak spot.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
On the afternoon of July 26, 2012, Zach and Michaela Valentine approached Natasha Berger's housing complex for the second time. This time, wearing wigs and carrying gift bags with colorful tissue peeking out, all part of their new ruse because of that weak spot they had discovered.
Natasha left her little puppy in daytime when she went to work with one of the neighbors.
Natasha's neighbor is a sweet older woman named Joy Burnside. Natasha's poodle, Bubbles, starts barking as soon as Michaela and Zach walk up to Joy's townhouse. The knocking only makes the dog bark more. But then, the door opens. Joy greets them warmly. Bubbles eagerly wags her tail. Michaela smiles back at Joy and says hello. Then she points to the gift bag in her hands and excitedly explains that they've traveled all the way from Krugersdorp to surprise Natasha for her birthday. Michaela asks Joy if she'll let them in so they can wait inside until their friend gets home. The elderly neighbor is hesitant at first, but then succumbs to the charms of their thoughtfulness. She welcomes the married couple into her home. Just a warning here, the violence that comes next is quite disturbing. The moment her back is turned, Zach pulls out a knife. He says he won't hurt her as long as she cooperates. Joy is frozen in fear. He demands she write a note to Natasha. Joy, trembling, finds a pen and paper and scribbles a message. Natasha, please come see me urgently. Auntie J. Zach orders Michaela to go put it on Natasha's door. When she returns, Zach winks at his wife and says, "She's all yours, love." Cecilia had specifically requested that Michaela kill Joy to practice a test of Michaela's loyalty. But when Michaela looks at Joy, the frightened old woman, she doesn't have the heart. "I can't," she screams, and flees from the old woman's house. Zach is shocked and disappointed in his wife.
He fears Cecilia's reaction and potential for a severe punishment. Joy tries to capitalize on Zach's momentary distraction. She makes a play for the door, but Zach is too fast for her. At 6 feet tall, he towers over the cowering woman. Zach has no mercy. He stabs her in the neck 6 times. Then, as if overcome, he hits her with a hammer 10 times. And after that, in his blind rage, he slits her throat. Blood splatters across the room, covering everything. The walls, floors, and bedding. Somehow, Joy isn't dead, but Zach leaves the room to place a barking Bubbles in the cupboard. While he's gone, Joy crawls to her phone. She manages to dial for help. Unable to speak, though, she lets the phone fall to the floor. Then, she drags herself towards the front door. Perhaps her dead body can become a warning to Natasha. Joy's last breaths escape her lungs there on the living room floor. Zach returns from stashing the puppy. He sits down in the living room and stares at Joy Burnside's body, waiting for Natasha to arrive. He doesn't have to wait long. Immediately, Zach grabs Natasha and pulls her into the apartment. She puts up a brave fight. She screams and thrashes against him, right up until the hammer comes out, followed by the knives. Zach attacks Natasha with the very same tools and in the same excessively violent manner as he did Joy. Natasha dies suddenly, eyes still open. She lies on the floor, staring forward, mere feet away from her sweet old neighbor. Their blood now mixed together on the blades, their hair smashed on the head of the hammer, their bodies in a heap, crushed in Natasha's fist. Is Auntie Joy's note. Outside in the car, Michaela hyperventilates, deeply disturbed by what she had just been a part of. The horror of it all was setting in. They had crossed a line.
So Natasha died because of revenge, and the neighbor, it's very insensitive to say that, but their words were, she was only collateral damage.
But one of Joy Burnside's neighbors had heard Joy fighting for her life. When she peered out the window, she spied Michaela frantically escaping the house, racing back to the car. This neighbor would become a key witness, and EPD's newfound taste for blood would turn to a lust for more.
If you've harmed one person who's close to you, it becomes easier to do it again. The first time it's a shock. The fifth time it's becoming normal. The tenth time it's unremarked.
On the next episode of Queen Havoc.
It was one of the most gruesome murders which I've seen in my then 34 years in the police service.
There was a lot of blood and the blood just went missing.
We can call off the search party. Kurt has arrived.
There's been murders, and it's occult related, it's in Krugersdorp area, connected to overcomers in Christ.
That's when I met Cecilia Steyn for the first time.
Queen Havoc and Her Murder Cult is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. Queen Havoc is hosted and created by me, Kurt Kubicek. Produced and written by Jennifer Tacchini, Julia Kriskow, and Kurt Kubicek. Lead producer is Julia Kriskow. Story editor is Zarin Burnett. Senior producer is Amelia Brock. Production manager is Daisy Church. Original music composed by Claire Campbell. Editing, sound design, and scoring by Jesse Neiswanger. Associate producers are Dashin Moodley and Jermaine Kriher. Additional producing by Ben Melman. Fact-checking by Dennis Webster. Recording engineers are Graham Gibson, Clay Hillenberg, and Josh Hook. Executive producers are Virginia Prescott, L.C. Crowley, Brandon Barr, Jennifer Tacchini, and Kurt Kubicek. We want to thank all of those who so generously welcomed us in South Africa and shared their stories. We're incredibly grateful to you all. We also want to acknowledge how traumatic these events are for the victims and their families. Please respect their privacy. If you or someone you know has been affected by cult behaviors, there are resources available, including Voices for Dignity at ChristineMurray.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.